This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a special broadcast from Broad on Joy 94.9.
Feminism should never lose momentum ever again. We did that once. Silly us.
And what happened?
Well,
what did you do?
Well, false equivalency happened. Oh. You know, like, so let's just keep on trucking. Absorbing as much knowledge is the price you pay for trying to change the world a little bit at a time. I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my life. I'm a woman.
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We would also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present, and future. Welcome to Broad, here Monday, the 16th of May, 2016. Lauren.
Hey, hey, how have you been? What's new? It's pretty
lots
good.
Of stuff.
I know. We've got some great stuff tonight. We've got an interview from Sherry Curry. We also will be talking to Shakira Hussein from a feminist writers' festival, which is coming up in Melbourne very shortly. And also stick around for that Broad News and Bad Bitches of History. Not to mention, we'll be touching base with the Heathers musical, which I had the pleasure of seeing last night.
Cool.
So, with that, I guess we'll kick off some music and we'll be back with you shortly, my lovely feminist friends.
Yes, have a guess what this one is. This is Abroad on Joy. Can't stay at home. Yes, this is Broad on Joy 94.9. That's the one and only Cherie Curry from The Runaways. Cherry Bomb. Woo. And on the phone line, we have, speaking of awesome people, we've got from the Feminist Writers Festival, one of the organisers. It is Shakira Hussein. Welcome to Broad.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm glad you're there. That's great. So can you tell us basically what is, because we spoke about it briefly last week with the broad news, what is the Feminist Writers Festival about?
Well, it's a chance for, well, feminist writers, as that implies, to connect with each other and to also with the broader public. There'll be workshops and there will be presentations as well. It's being held, it's being hosted this year by the Melbourne Writers Festival. It's not the first Feminist Writers Festival to be held in Australia, but it's the first iteration of this particular event, and we have hope that it will, in future, be held in other cities in Australia and hosted by other events to make it a truly national undertaking. We have members of our steering committee in all different cities all over Australia. We'll be hoping that people will come from interstate to attend, of course. And there'll be all sorts of ways for people to interact with the festival. And those are still being worked out. Not everybody will be able to attend, and not everybody will be able to present. Of course, there's only so many hours in the day and only so many places on the panel. But there'll be multiple ways for people to participate.
Yes, there you are. We lost you a bit there.
But I'd say, like, especially spreading it throughout the country or a little bit more, it's definitely a fair ambition to have. I think it can be done. I think that feminism is definitely on the rise, and I'm so glad that you're hosting things like this, especially in regards to writing, because it can be really hard for to sort of write about feminism without experiencing a huge amount of backlash.
Yes, it is, but I think that's only added to the momentum because women are outraged when they see, like, other women being treated in this way, just for speaking out about what are perfectly reasonable expectations that we have. Of just who was a famous early feminist who said that feminism was just, I don't know what it is, but it's what people call me when I behave like anything other than a doormat. Who was that, even? But even those types of modest expectations are apparently too much for some people. And, yeah, but we are not going to just sit back and let that happen.
Absolutely not. I think it's so wonderful. And especially, so when you're saying that people can participate in more ways than one, will there be a huge online presence for the Feminist Writers Festival as well?
Yeah, we are still working out those kind of details. Of course, we've got a Facebook page and a Twitter account already up and going. And we've been overwhelmed by the amount of support and by the number of feminists, women and writers who want to be a part of it. And we are still working out how we can make that happen, and how we can be as inclusive as possible, how we can extend our outreach as far as possible, and how we can find as many different ways to contribute as possible. Fundraising is going to be an obvious one of those, but it doesn't mean that you have to be a big giver, just you might be able to help with fundraising. But again, these are still things that we're still working on. But another thing I have to say about trying to include as many women as possible is also trying to include women from as many different sections as possible. Yeah. We don't want to have, like, huge, you know, this vast event that has, you know, not a significant number of Aboriginal women contributors, not a significant number of disabled women participating, not a significant number of trans women participating. Mm. So besides just trying to get message out to as many women as possible, we're also having to put a lot of energy in to making sure we have that kind of reach. And the steering committee kind of represents that ambition, and that, and you know, and I'm Muslim, a feminist. We've got Celeste Little, of course, who's who runs the ranting of a black feminist ranter,
Celeste Little, yeah.
Black feminist ranter,
she's awesome.
And we've got Maxine Bonneta-Clark, you know, and so, we're very conscious of that need for feminism to be intersectional, and we will not be just prioritising numbers over inclusion, over what should we say, intersectionality.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely agree.
Now, of course, your own background, if you don't mind explaining a bit of that, you know, chatting about that. What do you actually do? I know that you're a very clued up woman, and taking on board something like this is huge. I mean, you must be pretty busy. What do you do when you're not organising feminist writers' festivals, Shakira?
Well, my book has just been released. It's called From Victims to Suspects, and there's a woman search 9/11. And that's a theme that I continue to write about for, like, Crikey, for the ABC Religion Ethics website. So, and there's a lot of community work, you can imagine, associated with that. And also, increasingly, interested in issues around disability, so basically narcissistic self-centered reasons I have multiple sclerosis, and that tends to make you take an interest in that all of a sudden. And yeah, so a long and time consuming and arduous medical procedures, that's a hobby, you know, not the most fun hobby. But, you know,
well,
it keeps me busy, and just from learning experience, I mean, I don't really recommend it. Get a TAFE or go to uni or do a master's or anything, but don't develop a chronic and disabling disease just for the educational, value.
Knowledge is, I guess, absorbing as much knowledge as the price you pay for trying to change the world a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, awesome. So as far as, are you looking for writers? Are you still on the lookout for people to contribute in that way as well, to be part of it?
Yes, and can still contact us via, you know, email or you know, web page and all of that. Yeah, and there will be other, as I said, ways to contribute besides participating in the festival itself. You know, we might have other writing-related jobs that be really hoping that people might be able to undertake. But these are things that talking through and still it's still taking shape. But all of your input is really valuable and welcome from that point of view. So if you have suggestions, you know, bring it on.
Yeah, so people go to, I've got the, there is the email address at feministwritersfestival.com. Is that a good place for people to start if they are interested?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. And Facebook page also. Sorry, I'm trying to bring up the details on my laptop myself and I can't see them.
We can post some stuff on our on Broad on Facebook, and also we're on the Twitter at Broad949FM. By all means, we will have the information available to you. Thank you so much for chatting to us today. We can't wait for the festival. We're so game for it.
Exactly.
I'm really looking forward to it myself.
Yeah. Well, I know it seems a bit further away. Look, it's August, but my goodness, the time will just fly past and we'll all be sitting down wondering what happened. No, you know, hi, that happened.
Yeah. That was good. I can't believe it's May already, but anyway.
I know.
But anyway, I look forward to seeing you there and to seeing your listeners there and to engaging with them by email and online in the lead up to the festival as well.
Yes, excellent.
Thank you so much.
People can head to feministwritersfestival.com and like Lauren was saying, we've got it on the, it's on the Facebook page now for Broad on Facebook, so check that out. Thank you so much, Shakira Hussein.
No, thank you very much as well.
And we'll be in touch for sure.
For sure.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
I'm looking forward to that festival.
I am so amped. I hope it does not lose momentum. Ooh, I am so going.
I don't think it will.
No. Feminism should never lose momentum ever again. We did that once. Silly us. And
what happened?
Well,
what did you do?
Well, false equivalency happened. Oh. You know, like, so let's just keep on trucking.
Yeah. Now, if you have any messages, what can people do?
They can give us a text on 0427JOY949. You can send us in messages and you can also email us at onair@joy.org.au. So we do look forward to reading your messages. Any questions, we are happy to answer.
If we can.
This is Broad on Joy 949. From Australia and around the globe, this is the Broadcast News. Welcome to the Broadcast News. This is me, Lauren Stardust, bringing you all the fancy news for feminists. So kicking it off, the first airline established by a black woman has just touched down with its first international flight. That was on May the 13th. The South African airline Fly Blue Crane started domestic flights in September last year, moving to all-female crewed flights in November. When asked by the Runway Girl Network what advice she could give to other women of colour wanting to make it in aviation, founder Cesar Mizmela was quoted as saying, "The truth of the matter is you have to accept up front that your road will be more difficult than the pale white man sitting next to you. Instead of moaning and complaining, just get on with it. You will have to always have to be better than them because they will only ignore you up to a point. People may not like your colour or your agenda when they say they want the best person for the job." If you needed a good reason to be pissed off with the entertainment industry, allow me to assist. CBS has cancelled its well-awaited Nancy Drew cop show reboot because, get this, despite the pilot testing well with audiences, it's skewed too female. In a world of dominantly televised male sports and 2.5 men, this is proof as to why we cannot have nice things. Do not, however, despair, my little spy fans. The show is being shopped around to other networks of getting picked up by, let's just say a less bullshit network. Best-selling author Catherine Dunn has passed away at age 70 this last week on Wednesday. Her most prolific novel, Geek Love, has been heralded as a cult classic and was a finalist in American's National Book Award circa 1989. Her work in published journalism ranged from Vogue to the New York Times to even Playboy. Specializing in the world of professional boxing, she was also a well-known radio personality, just like Sonia and I, well, we wonder. She was a creative powerhouse out of Portland and will no doubt be missed. Thank you so much for your words, Catherine. And that is the broadcast news.
Wow. I can't believe it with the Nancy Drew thing. That just threw me.
I know.
Such so much, a good cast.
Look, there's great stuff going on. I mean, especially with Fly Blue Crane, it's a step forward that we've got finally international flights. And this woman's being a total powerhouse. But then we have, like, that happen. And it feels superficial and it feels like something you shouldn't be pissed about, but I'm so pissed.
It would have been really massive.
It is. And like, think about, like, you know, like, I was a Harriet the Spy kid. Nancy Drew was a little bit before my time, but it still hurts. It really still hurts. And I mean, even Supergirl has been shut down this week. Oh, what? It hasn't been cancelled, however, it has been moved to another network, which is CW. Most infuriatingly, also this past week, the Agent Carter series has unfortunately been cancelled as well. Look, it might be shopped around to other places. I honestly think
there's a petition.
Look, Netflix could pick it up. Netflix have been pretty good on a lot of...
Yeah, but Netflix can't solve every world
problem. They really
problem,
can't.
Can
so
they?
Yeah, it's a way of sort of disobeying the Murdoch media if just going for Netflix, but instead of Foxtel. But look, this stuff keeps happening, and it's just a ridiculous thing when we know the statistics say that films are by women, for women, with female characters do well.
Yeah,
Frozen broke box office records, and
crazy.
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's my pissed offness.
Your opinion tonight. Oh, that's good. Thanks for the broad news. And now here's that interview we've been promising you all out there. If you're a rock chick, if you're not a rock chick, you just like The Runaways and you like Joan Jett, you'll also may like, of course, Cherie Curry. Now, she is due to come out here next week, actually, the 28th. She's playing in Melbourne Town, if you're interested. She'll also be playing dates around Australia, so we'll post those on the Facebook page. And thanks to Cherie for taking a few moments out of her busy schedule to talk to us about, well, about what it's like to be a runaway. So here it is, our interview with Cherie Curry here on Broad on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Broad here on Joy 94.9. And I have on the phone line, I'm talking to the amazing Cherie Curry. Of course, she's coming out here. She's going to be playing in Melbourne on the 28th of May, I believe. I want to welcome you to Broad.
Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you, Sonia. Thank you.
It's an incredible journey getting down under, getting to Australia. Is it the first time you've been down here?
It is. And I'll tell you, in 1977, when I, of course, in The Runaways, we were told by our management that we went gold in Australia. That was the first thing we heard. So we thought we were going to be just jumping on a plane going down under, and it never happened.
Damn.
So I've been waiting 40 years for this.
So have we. Damn it.
I know it. But, oh, well, the thing is, you know, it is what it is, and I get to play all the Runaways songs still. So it's going to be good.
So that was one of the questions I had is, will you be delving into some of those classics that people love?
I have to, because I love them, too.
Oh, good.
And whenever I go to see a band or a solo artist, I always am waiting for that song that I love the most. I love all the Runaway songs. I love playing them. They're fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, they still have such a freshness and a rawness, I think, that fans love and people just turn onto it. And a lot of that, I guess, has been the resurgence thanks to film done in, 2010 by Floria Sigismondi. I mean, how amazing was that film, do you think?
It was great.
Yep.
It really was. I was surprised because how do you put 2 years of absolute craziness into 90 minutes? But I mean, the acting was outrageously great. Of course, Dakota Fanning's one of my favorite actors of all time. And Kristen Stewart killed it as Joan.
Didn't she?
And Michael Shannon was, he was fantastic as Kim Fowley. So it really was a true gift for that movie to be made.
Yeah, it's quite spooky how alike the characters were, you know, I mean, the actors playing those real parts, so...
It was so surreal. I still don't believe it happened. It's just one of those things that, I mean, especially with these actors being so great, and I just loved them all. And I still, some things are just so phenomenal that it's hard to still grasp it for me. And I think that's good. Mm. I think that's good. I like, because every time I see the film or see it coming on television or talked about, I get that feeling like, because I still don't believe it. My goodness, girls have just decided to not let anyone stand in their way. Mm. And I think it's very different than, of course, it was. But the Runaways were really the first, besides Susie Quattro and Fanny, we were really the first young teenage band to hit the stage. And now I just see so many of them. And it's great with social media and also with the ability to make your own records and put them out on your own and your own videos. People have a real chance to be seen, and I think that is fantastic.
And, I mean, for our show, for Broad, we look at women culturally and bands and their experiences and of course, feminism and where that is at the moment. How do you feel about being so the focus of so many younger women today as far as in music?
I just think it's great, and I'm very proud, very, very, very proud. I really had thought that the Runaways had all been forgotten up until about 22 years ago. I really did, especially when Madonna, when she said that she was the first person to wear a corset on stage. That bummed me out, because that wasn't true.
Yeah,
I did it long before she did.
Yeah.
And so I thought, wow, so maybe the Runaways really didn't make the impact that I thought we had. But it was thanks to the fans not forgetting. And then, of course, John Linson, who came up with the idea of making the film, and Kenny Laguna as well for pushing for it. I think, we're very, very lucky that now this other generation of girls really sees, hey, you know, I can do this. And that's the most important part.
Yeah, with recent developments, things like what's happened to Keisha, and you hear these other stories and stuff like that. For you to be so young, you guys were so young at that age, at time, surviving all that is quite a feat, quite incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It was a totally different time. It was a very different time. The 70s was extraordinary and different. Very different than it is today.
Yeah, and what a career. I mean, you've led on to things like one of my favourite films, and a few of us love it, and Foxes with Jodie Foster. That's quite an amazing film. I know that's...
Thank you very much.
...been a while, but...
Well, seen it in a while myself. But that was Adrian Lyon's first film as well. That was his directorial debut. He had just done commercials before that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, he went on to make great movies, Fatal Attraction, and... But I'll say, working with Jodie Foster, and we became very good friends and stayed good friends for years after that movie. So she was so helpful, so helpful.
You know, having come out and be so positive about it all, and a great influence on many women. And the interesting thing is, so she starred with Kristen Stewart, and then Kristen Stewart was Joan Jett, and then she met you, and so the cycle, goes on.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Quite a ride.
Yeah, I bet. So for your music now, you're collaborating a lot. It's a new album, isn't it, to be coming out and doing this work. How are you feeling? What's your feeling about the whole thing?
Well, I think making Reverie, which has been out about a year or so now, maybe not quite a year, having Kim Fowley be producer on four of those songs was just incredible for me, and to have my son Jake working with him, because I had a very difficult time overcoming the anger issues that I had as a kid with him, and I really realized about six, seven years ago that all that did was hurt myself. So I reached out to him And I wanted to talk to him. I wanted him to explain to me why those things had happened. Mm. And he did. And we became friends. And then I had also known, I knew that he was dying of cancer. And he called and asked if I wanted to do a record with him, and I just jumped at the chance. For me, it was an opportunity to put behind me the bad memories and make new great memories. And then, of course, I moved him into my house for almost 10 days and took care of him 24/7. He was bedridden.
Wow.
And before he had to go in for his last surgery, and then he passed away. So for me, I was able to take something that was very hurtful to me for the majority of my adulthood and turn it into something positive. So I recommend that to anybody and everybody.
Mm.
Well, you know, and people change in 40 years. I have. I think everybody changes, you know. We grow up and life happens. So.
Yeah.
I have two albums coming out before the end of the year. Blackheart record that I made with Matt Sorum back in 2010, that's coming out in around September.
So this is a lot. You've got three albums pretty much. This tour that's taking you around Australia and for the first time in Australia, and so many other watershed moments and things. And I mean, this is, you know, incredible.
Thank you so much. And at 56 years old, I just am very blessed. Being on stage is probably the easiest thing that I do in a day or in a night. It's just a thing that I was born to do. So it's great to be able to do it again.
And you enjoy it too. So, you know, you've got that as well. It's something that you want to do, which is different.
I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. It's a joy to do, yeah.
Now, with the passing of David Bowie, of course, that's been very tough, I should imagine, for yourself and for many other artists.
It's very hard to believe. When I found out I had the flu, believe it or not, with about 103.5 temperature, when I got a text that David Bowie, had died. And I think if I hadn't have been so absolutely, like, deathly ill, it would have really taken me to my knees.
If you could choose, just briefly, if you could choose a Bowie song, is there any song that now you feel stands the test of time for yourself?
So many.
I know.
I'm going to say Lady Grinning Soul.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you so much, Sherry, for speaking to us, Sherry Curry. She's going to be on tour. She's coming to Melbourne on the 28th at the Corner Hotel. So thank you so much for speaking to us here on Broad.
You are listening to Sonia Joy FM Radio from, oh, I'm sorry.
Broad.
This is Cherie Curry from The Runaways, and you're listening to Sonia with Joy FM Radio.
Thank you so much. All the best. Good luck with everything. All right. I want to thank Cherie Curry for speaking to us here on Broad on Joy 94.9.
Fuck me gently with the chainsaw. Do I look like Mother Teresa?
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. I am just a boy in school. I asked my teacher, what should I try? Should I paint pictures? Should I sing songs? This was her wise reply. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
What will be.
When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my lover, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Guess what my lover said.
the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be?
Will I be pretty? Will I be rich?
I tell them, wait and see. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. What will be, will be.
If you like. Oh ho, welcome back to Broad on Joy 949.
Ooh, Doris Day, that doesn't happen every night on
no
board.
It doesn't, but I thought, seeing as it was a Heather's kind of an yeah. evening, or what I sort of last night, that I would play us in. And of course, beautiful Fuck Me With a Chainsaw, little soundbite before.
Now, did you realize
well.
And you didn't,
I didn't
off air, you didn't
no.
realize that Sheree Curry is actually a chainsaw artist.
I can't believe
She's
what a
massive.
Coinky dink I've just created. Now if you are
Amazing.
Just tuning in, or
yep.
if you are listening and you do love us, we do love your messages as well. You can give us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, if you're at your laptop Facebooking madly while you listen to us, you can also send us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
And that was great. I'll play the whole interview with Sheree Curry. I mean, we'll put it up on the Facebook page and we'll podcast it in the next few days.
Very interesting. You did miss out on a little bit, so I highly recommend you download it.
Yeah,
check it on out.
All the uncut stuff's in there.
Ooh, yes.
Chainsaws.
Raw. Yes.
Yes, chainsaws. She loves chainsaw art. And so do we.
Yes. Yeah, we
and
do.
So Heathers, how long has it taken for it to get to the stage?
Well, I couldn't even tell you when the film came out, to be honest, but we'll have to look at the dates.
Film.
It has been, the 80s, right?
1988, actually.
Really? Yes. The year before I was born. Oh, yes.
Stars aligned. Do you think your parents might have been watching Heathers?
Maybe. Well, no, I don't think so. Mum didn't know about it. I used to introduce all the wacky films to my family. My first job was a video store. Redundant. And my mother even regularly says, Lauren, you used to show me all the weird films and I'd have to just sit down and watch them, and all of a sudden I'd find myself enjoying all of these wacky post-Columbine humor. It's probably the best way to describe it. I mean, Heathers was the Mean Girls of its time.
Amazing. Winona Ryder, of course,
Winona. Love
her.
And Christian Slater.
Free Winona. Remember when she took that Hermes scarf?
Oh,
apparently it just found its way in her bag. But Hermes scarves just find their way there.
Celebrities are people too, and I think that there's a lot of pressure that happens within Hollywood and to women as well. Oh, no, I really do. I have a lot of sympathy for
Shannon Doherty in it as well.
Yes, it is really fantastic. And Christian Slater, who was one of my first crushes, which is kind of a funny thing, actually. I mean,
have you seen Pump Up the Volume?
Yes, I have. Luckily, my dear Zen Fletcher, my movie guru, played that one for me. Oh, love it. But in any case, I did see the musical last night. Heathers, the musical. Boy, oh boy, is that a romp. It is done the same lyrics and music, I believe, were the people who worked on Legally Blonde. So you probably will hear a few similarities. And I mean, it is sort of a high school or learning environment romp again. So I would highly, I recommend it. Check it out. It has a lot of differences in there as well. And I'm really, I'm kind of perplexed by a few of them. Spoilers, but I mean, the film came out in 1988, and I'm sure it's for the fans, this musical, as well, because it has a lot of great songs based around quotes, like I Love My Dead Gay Son. I was very sad to when they did not have a song based around Fuck Me Gently With a Chainsaw, but I'll let it slide. However, there is a few little weird things. Within the musical, the one thing that irked me most is that our romantic male lead does commit suicide by blowing himself up at the end of the film. And in the film, Winona Ryder's character almost doesn't give a shit. And the reason being why, look, it's a very strange film. There's no, without context, it sounds very weird about what I'm talking about. But she doesn't care because he has been like this strange, gaslighting, manipulative, horrible guy, like just this absolutely gorgeously horrible person. So she doesn't give a shit. She's dumped him and he's still trying to manipulate her in what ways he can, including him blowing himself up. In the musical, they changed it so she's kind of sad about it for a bit. And this is a theme that's kind of come about in a few musicals as of late, most pointedly within Dirty Dancing that came out recently. If you remember the film Dirty Dancing, there's a woman who desperately needs an abortion in it. Mm. And it's a huge point where she's like, oh God, I just don't want this baby. Yet in the musical version of Dirty Dancing, they make her feel regretful or sad about it. What is that saying to women?
Or does she have the abortion?
She has the abortion, but they make her feel... Yeah, in the musical, it is, obviously...
I can't even remember the movie. To be honest, I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan of the particular Hollywood genre.
Mm, fair enough.
I prefer Heathers.
Heathers
which was
is a little
probably,
more... Yeah.
Well, it was independent cinema still, but it did so well that pretty much that film and, like, the one we mentioned, Pump Up the Volume and those sorts of type of genre did so well that Hollywood started making all these copycat films, which probably led to things like Legally Blonde,
exactly.
which is a total sort of dilution.
God, I love Legally Blonde.
Yeah, but it's not very good.
Ah,
compared to
so
Heathers.
No, it isn't.
It makes it out to be this positive, wonderful world, and it's not the case. For high school's full of homophobia, bullying.
Yes, there are so many themes
sexism,
throughout it.
Misogyny. I mean, what goes on in campuses in America or anywhere, really, but in particular in America, is also fraught with dangers and fraught with just terrible things. I think that's what I like about Heathers. It laughs at that.
Yeah, it's sort of a very black comedy. Yeah,
yeah,
very black
dark.
Comedy. The musical, look, it embraced some things about it. I mean, like, there's a song where you remember the two jocks are trying to going out cow tipping. They're cow tipping in the film. In the musical version, it's a little bit different, but they're like trying to convince Veronica to have sex with them. And they have a song about why do you make my balls so blue and why do you make them so sad. And of course these are horrible vitriol characters, and that's the point is that they get their comeuppance in a really horrible way, and then but oddly made out as martyrs, like much like the original Heather. So there's a lot of it does sort of have some of the black comedy, but I feel as though a couple of points were missed, especially in Veronica's character. I mean, she was a lot stronger in the film. She really held her own, and she... Oh, another odd thing as well was with Jason Dean. They seem to have a back and forth, like, will they break up, won't they break up? Whereas in the film, it's very definite. Veronica's character is like, no, fuck off, you're a horrible, manipulative dude. And also, you're killing my friends. You're killing, not necessarily my friends, but people who are horrible, but they don't deserve to die. You aren't God. You don't play God. So this was sort of strange stuff. Another thing I noticed about myself when it came to the film, when I first saw it, I had an amazing crush on Jason Dean. And in hindsight,
who's Jason Dean?
Jason Dean is Christian Slater's character.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's been a while. I haven't seen it for a long time.
Jason Dean. I had a massive crush on Jason Dean, who is a horrible character. And
yeah, you're allowed to have crushes on people that are horrible.
I know, but it's really odd that...
It's normal, actually. It's normal for women to do that.
Well, I don't feel like it is normal. I feel like that's a grooming.
It's normal when you're that age. You've got to think of those characters in that sort of realm. And many of these films touch on that. Many of these sort of stories always touch on that. There's always the very bad person for the really good person. But no person is good.
No.
I mean, she metamorphosizes and changes and evolves into a
makes her
not
fantastic.
So nice person.
No.
And maybe she gets... let off the hook. But it sounds like maybe the musical is trying to dilute that, and
I feel like it's probably trying
like
to bring
it's all
it
shoulder
to
pads and no substance.
It
and
is a lot of shoulder pads.
Nobody was thinking they were shoulder pads when Heathers came out. We didn't walk around going, oh, look, shoulder pads. That was normal. That was actually the normal way people dressed. And I wonder if this has just become pastiche.
Look, I really... at the end
By
of the
turning
day...
turning it into
I
a musical
did,
for
I did
fun.
Enjoy the musical, even though there were problematic parts about it. But that could be because I love musical theatre.
So where is it playing, if you
It is playing at the Arts Centre. Look, go and make up your own mind about it. Heathers is... In rewatching the old film, I do prefer the film. The music's catchy, but I just felt like they missed a few real solid points of the film. And the film did have these amazing poignant bits.
Yeah.
that could have been included included very easily if you ask me. However, go and make up your own mind. Heather's, it's playing, I think it's playing throughout May at the Arts Centre. Let us know if you have seen it. I mean, it's only been playing for 3 or 4 nights. Let us know what you think. Love to hear it if you're a fan of the film. Sounds great.
Yeah. There was rumours for a while that there was going to be a sequel to the film, but never happened. I don't know. That would be great, though.
I mean, how would you make a sequel to that? I mean,
growing up, you know, had babies, you know, the usual.
Yeah. Or would you make it a new high school setting with a different sort of effed up situation?
I'm a Friday the 13th fan. I love the first 3 Friday the 13ths, made around the same era. And Heather's was like bringing the horror genre without the slasher. You didn't need the slasher, but it was still violent and macabre and rather gross.
Oh, hilarious at the same time. Yeah.
Love it.
Anyway, send us a message, 0427JOY949, on air at joy.org.au if you want to email us.
And tweet.
Tweet at BroadFem949.
Thank you. Yes, this is Broad on Joy 94.9, and we've had a message.
Message.
Which has disappeared. No, there it is. I'm back. It says, love the interviews as always. You find the best women for Broad. I can't wait to see who you talk to next. Me too.
Woohoo.
Well, we've got secret stuff. We can't, you know, tell everyone, but we'll let you know later.
Thank you so much.
Message us in 0427JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au and keep in touch with us. And hopefully we'll have this podcast, this episode, later in the week, along with the full embodied, unadulterated interview with Cherie Curry from The Runaways and other things. She'll be in town next week.
Well, hey.
Thanks for the Heather's rundown.
Thank you. I hope it made some sense. Look, it was very enjoyable, but also I think a lot of people are going to make up their own minds about that one there.
Yeah.
But speaking of Heather's and other bad bitches of history, it is a flying comeback this week with Maria Lewis. She is talking about Dianne Fossey. What a person. What an amazing human.
Mm. Gorillas in the Mist. Most people know.
That's
the movie,
of
course, was Sigourney, our favourite. But let's have a listen to Maria Lewis. This is Broad on Joy.
Broads from the past. This is Bad Bitches of History on Broad. Joy 94.9.
Here we are again. Look, it's Bad Bitches of History this week with Maria Lewis. Who's the bad bitch this week for us on Broad?
This week's bad bitch of history is... drumroll, shitty drumroll.
Edit that out. Because it don't sound like shit. No, just
This week's bad bitch of history is Dianne Fossey, most famously played by Sigourney Weaver in Gorillas in the Mist. Sigourney Weaver is actually president of the Dianne Fossey International Gorilla Fund. Unrelated.
Fabulous.
Yeah. She was a zoologist, anthropologist, and animal rights activist who famously undertook an extensive study of mountain gorilla groups over a period of 18 years by living with them in the mountain forests surrounding Rwanda. Along with Jane Goodall and Burut Galdakis, she was part of the Trimates, which was the name people called a group of 3 prominent researchers on primates. She was a vocal opponent of poaching and tourism in the areas around the Congo and Rwanda, where the mountain gorilla population was at its strongest. She and Goodall actually became really close friends over the years, which I love. I love it when bad bitches of history team up together. And they shared their research and findings, as well as a love of animals and protecting them. Unfortunately, as most people will know, Fossey did die. She died at 53 with a machete blow to the face. She was murdered in the private cabin where she lived, and nobody was ever convicted of her murder.
But it's highly sus that it was something to do with, obviously, the poaching, one would say.
Yeah.
Although we don't know.
Well, actually, the person they suspect of her murder lives in the US. The person that they suspect, and they have reopened and closed the case lots of times. In Rwanda, they actually convicted 3 people and sentenced them for it, but the widely held belief is that they were patsies and it wasn't actually the people responsible.
Very into a fantastic career. I mean, you know, and how... imagine what more she could have done. She's so young. There was still so much there. And today, even now, so much more has to be done to protect our cousins. That's what they are.
Yeah.
We're only 1% difference
genetically.
I know that's a lot, but when you think about it, it's also not that much.
It's really not. And I mean, Gorillas in the Mist was a movie that inspired a lot of people and really kind of like highlighted a lot of Diane Fossey's life and her work. And it definitely inspired me as a teen because I saw it in high school. It's one of the movies we had to watch. I was so inspired. I went and onto her website and adopted a gorilla from the Diane Fossey International.
And tell us about your gorilla.
Its name's Cubana. It's an orphan. Cool. She was an orphan. Her parents were killed by poachers. And as far as I know, she's doing all right, living wild and free.
And she's in Rwanda?
Yeah, on the Rwanda-Congo border.
Fantastic, yeah. Too many humans on the planet.
I know, they ruin everything. Mm.
So, yeah, Diane Fossey, amazing woman. And what about her background? Like, do we know much about?
Well, she came from a background of being a scientist and a researcher, and she had done some field work before, but it was really kind of interesting because when she went into the jungle and started this research project and lived literally in the jungle with the gorillas, and she had a team of researchers with her. It was a really quite well-funded project when you think about it, the financial resources it would have taken to fund her and the team for 18 years and fund that infrastructure. She was spending like 9 months of the year over there and then 3 months back in the States. But this was kind of like the first project of its kind that she was leading and that she had been involved in. So she really took charge and stepped up in a big, bad way.
Yeah, it was very pioneering because a lot of naturalists and zoologists do this kind of work now, immersive stuff, instead of this, you know, stand back, we'll put a camera somewhere and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that
she
idea
went in there, which was highly dangerous.
It was, especially for being a woman in that country and at that time. And
apart from the humans.
Yeah, and this is unrelated to her research stuff and the historical stuff she did, but one of the other things I've always really loved about Diane Fossey, and I've read a few biographies, I should say, not autobiographies about her, is that she was someone who loved. She had a big heart, not just for the animals. Mm. She had a lot of epic loves and a lot of epic romances and a lot of, like,
it's Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, you know, like just a lot of epic, like she's just someone who obviously had such a big heart and she loved openly and full-heartedly, and it didn't always work out, but that never stopped her from loving again or falling in love again. Something really romantic about that notion.
She was a romantic, I think.
She was, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try not to cry now.
Got real deep. She got real deep.
She got deep there. Well, thank you so much. That's a wonderful bad bitch of history, Maria.
I love Diane Fossey.
We love her. And look, if you know more about Diane or you want to get in touch, you can do that. You can tweet us on at BroadFem949. I'm getting better at it. That's Bad Bitches of History here on Broad on Joy 94.9. Thanks, Maria. This is Sonia here on Broad with Lauren.
Lauren the Stardust. What a cool person I am.
Thanks, Maria, for that. And, of course, you can catch her on the feed, and she does lots of cool, awesome stuff. I believe she sponsors a little gorilla over there in the Congo on the Rwanda border. So wonderful. And so we've got a bit of time before we wrap up the show, because the next show is, they're preparing themselves. There's nothing sacred.
See them doing stretches out there.
They're limbering up.
Limbering up. Don't pull a hammy. Nothing sacred. Yes. I was going to say, it is wrapping up the Human Rights Film Festival. So yeah. I highly recommend you all get in as soon as you can. What day is it finished? The 19th.
Yeah, so it's been happening in Melbourne. This year they've had it at the ACMI, so it's fabulous.
Wow,
it's a really good venue and some wonderful and non-for-profit organisation that they are, and independent filmmakers too. So there's some real good goodies. Finally, well, there's been too many, but Hooligan Sparrow, which you've seen, is playing Wednesday the 18th.
This woman, there are some people out there who are fighting the good fight as hard as they can, tooth and nail, and she truly
is. One of them.
She is an absolute, I don't want to say an inspiration because I feel like that's tacky. She's more than that. She's amazing. Yeah. And I really do recommend you view it. And it does give you some sort of insight of the climate of China and how it does treat young girls and how it effectively prostitutes children off, which is what she is fighting for. She basically, there was this there was this particular case in Hainan where young girls were drugged by their teachers and taken to political people with sort of political influence to have sex with. And these are young women. And the sort of blame that was placed on the young girls Hooligan Sparrow did spend time as she worked as a sex worker for free to truly understand. She also was providing contraceptives and condoms for sex workers so that they wouldn't be without. She's just so amazing and so insightful. Do check it out.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. This is Broad on Joy 94.9. Thank you so much for tuning in to us and listening.
Oh, yes.
Yes, excellent. So, Lauren, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, anytime. You know, I'm here every week. I love being here and I love talking feminism with you, Sonia.
Yeah, I know. Excellent. Come. You can always keep in touch with us with Facebook. You can email us, keep in touch that way, broad@joy.org.au, .com, I think it is. I don't know. You'll find out one way.
Yeah.
And next week we'll talk to Fiona Trigg from the Scorsese exhibition that starts in a week
fantastic.
And a half.
Yeah.
It's big. And she's going to be looking at toxic masculinity in Martin Scorsese and also what that means and the women that he has in his films.
Oh, toxic masculinity is such a fascinating... it is fascinating
it is.
Because, I mean,
especially
it does,
in cinema.
It does oppress us all. I don't know, plenty of feminist fish to fish from.
Fry.
Yes,
exactly.
To fry. True.
Right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Sonia.
Right, thanks,
excellent show.
Woohoo! Cheers. This has been Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hi, we're the Girl Fridas, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Maria Lewis. I'm a Broad, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
And that was this week's show of Broad on Joy 94.9. Get in touch with us. It's easy to do. Just go to broad@joy.org.au. You can tweet us at broadfem949.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.